welcome to Your Mental Health with Corinne Reason from The Crew Coach. We're talking about men and mental health this month, being Men's Health Awareness Month. And today I have the founder of Motion. Very lucky to have you here with us, Brad. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Thank you. So we were talking the other day about community, and Brad has an incredible platform that focuses on a community, and community means a lot to Brad. It means a lot to me. And I think when we talk about, both of us are entrepreneurs, and our core focus is on community because we believe there's something very, very special about community, and that is connection and inspiration. And working as a solopreneur can be so difficult because you're isolated. And that just adds a different layer to what we're about to talk about. So that's why I think both of us appreciate community so much and can realize the benefit surrounding yourself within a positive network. There we go.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Yeah.
So Brad, tell me, what does community mean to you?
You know, it's something I think about a lot, especially right now with COVID going on, like, you know, being so isolated. I mean, I was isolated already as I, you know, embarked on this entrepreneurship journey 18 months ago. So I've been stuck in my box for the last 18 months, really not having much going on around me. But then obviously with COVID hitting, like, I've just lost all community. Like, I'm in Chicago and we're in lockdown right now, so, you know, I don't see anybody. But thankfully we have this thing called the internet where I'm able to connect with people and have these conversations through, you know, through channels like Zoom. And what I've realized is, you know, community, it's really, really important who you surround yourself with, because, you know, things can get really, really lonely. But being able to channel the, you know, access people and be able to, you know, be able to talk through these issues and talk through this, not loneliness, but it gets like, over the last 6 months, things have been really quiet and dark in here, just because, you know, I'm stuck behind my computer all day, every day. And I don't get to go out and play sports and hang out with friends and go for beers. And what I've realized is, I didn't realize how important community was until I lost it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you mean being a foreigner living in a new city, town, country? Is that what you're referring to?
Because, well, sure.
You're South African, and I don't know how long you've been living in Chicago for, but it's very similar to yachting. Like, you go on board a new boat and then you got to reintegrate and you got to find your way and your identity within that community. So was it similar to you?
Absolutely. So I've been in Chicago for a while now, so I've built up a little bit of a community. But when I first arrived here, my wife is from Chicago, that's why I'm here, and I didn't have anybody. And I come from a small town in South Africa where everybody knew everybody. And, you know, the sense of community was, I mean, yeah, everybody knew everybody. You walked down the streets, everybody greeted each other. You stopped, you chatted with your neighbors. And now, like, I'll go out walking my dog and I'll see 10 people and not a single person will greet me, kind of thing, you know. And it's really challenging. But then you learn to find areas where you can find those people. So, like, if you look hard enough, you'll find them. And what I've found is I tend to hang out with a lot more foreigners, a lot more expats that come from similar backgrounds. So I have a lot of Australian friends, a lot of friends from New Zealand, and we all have, like, similar feelings about it. So, you know, we all tend to gravitate towards each other, and we've been able to find our own little community in that, you know? So I had to start from scratch, but I feel like if you open your eyes, you'll find that community wherever you are. It's just a matter of looking for it and identifying.
Yeah, yeah. And the regards to men and mental health, what does that term mean to you? Because we spoke about self-care a couple
sure.
as well. We're both bad about self-care.
Yeah, so I obviously grew up where, like, you didn't talk about your problems, or, like, you know, mental health was never, like, I didn't know much about it. To be honest with you, I still don't know too much about it. But over the years, what I've learned is it is something that needs to be discussed. People need to feel a little more open about talking about it. Like, I don't know, there's a lot going on inside your head, and, like, you've got to get that out, and you've got to find people that you can, or channels that you can access to relieve some of that stress and some of that tension. And does that make sense?
It does. So in terms of, let's talk about South Africa. We're both South Africans. And what do you think the culture, our upbringing, when we talk about men expressing their feelings, what do you think the culture is around that, or the potential stigma attached to men being vulnerable?
Sure. I guess you just kind of grind it out. Like, if you have an issue, you just push through, and, you know, like, you I always that's how I always approach things, was like, look, like, if I had any issues, we would just push through and kind of get to the point where, like, it's no longer an issue, if that makes sense. So, like, if I had an issue with somebody on, like, the rugby field or whatever, like, we would kind of pull out the fists and, like, you know, but we wouldn't talk about it. Like, so I guess that never happened in real life. It's more of an analogy, but, like, that's kind of how it was. Like, you settle and you move on. You don't ever go back to it and address the underlying problem. You just kind of move on. And it's, I guess, in the short term, like, that's kind of the easy solution. But in the long run, like, if you hold on to that, like, it's never going to end well, because those little things, they accumulate over time, and eventually, like, that's where you see people breaking down, because they have all those minor
niggles,
issues that just never get resolved, right?
I was going to ask you a bit about that, the consequences of suppressing your emotions and not really expressing how you feel, and you being a new dad now, congratulations.
Thank you.
I think there's a lot more awareness of how we raise our children. So if you have, like, for example, your child, whether it's a girl or a boy, that trips over and falls and starts crying, and you don't want to see them in pain, so you quickly pick them up. Don't worry about it, you'll be fine. And it's like, I'm hurting, I just want to cry. Let me cry.
Yeah.
And it's
sure.
At a young age that it's okay to feel hurt or pain. I know that's physical pain, but it's just being mindful the words that we use, whether it's with our children or with our team or with our partner, you know, not saying things like, just get over it, harden up, you're a big boy.
Sure.
Why, things like that we need to be very conscious of, and the impact on that, how that language can have on others.
So it's good that you brought up my girl. Like, it's, I think about this a lot now. So, like, you know, there is that balance, and we're about to go through sleep training, and the idea behind that is let her cry it out, because she's become dependent on us, that every time she cries, we go rushing to her aid. And, like, there comes a point where she has to, you know, she's doing it just out of habit at this point. Like, she can go a full night of sleeping without being fed, but she knows that when she cries, we're going to come to her. So, like, we're busy. The thought of letting her cry it out is terrifying, because, like, she's my baby, and, like, I want to go and, you know, like, I want to go rescue her. But there's got to be that balance where, like, you don't want to be that helicopter parent, and, like, you know, she's got to figure things out for herself, and she's got to make those mistakes, and she's got to fall and pick herself back up. But at the same time, we also, she has to know that we are there for her when, you know, that she can always count on us being there for her. So there is that balance of like, you know, you can't cry over everything, but you also have to know that there are people that have your back, and that if you are in a tough situation, there are people that you should be able to call on and rely on to help you get out of it. You don't have to do it yourself and just kind of bury it deeper and deeper and deeper. Because at the end of the day, like, yeah, if you don't resolve the issue, and if you don't have that person that you can rely on and say, hey, dude, I'm in trouble, I need your help, like, it never ends well. So I've been fortunate enough to have people in my life, like my brother and I, we talk on a daily basis, and like, he's almost like, he lives in Florida, and we both have our challenges, but we always know that we can pick up the phone and say, hey, like, Warren, I'm struggling with this, can you help me? And I don't have a ton of people like that, but I have a few close friends and a few close family members that I know I can reach out to and kind of, and have them help me resolve my issues. And I never always had that. Like, there was a point in time where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to figure this out. I have, you know, like, what are they going to think of me if I say, hey, dude, like, I'm struggling with this? Are they going to think I'm being weak, or am I being a girl, or whatever, you know? But yeah.
This is so weird. I feel like you're reading my mind, because when I'm thinking about the question, you're already like onto the next topic that I want to ask. That's awesome. But what I wanted to say on that, what point did you go, I'm actually going to put aside all my fear around asking for help, and I'm actually going to reach out? So what was the breaking point for you to shift your thinking around asking for help?
It's a good question. And, you know, thinking about that, like, I still struggle to ask for help, and often it's because I don't, there's a couple of things. So like, I feel like I'm inconveniencing somebody if I ask them for help, because, you know, everybody's got their own shit to deal with, excuse my language, but, you know, everyone's struggling with their own thing. So why should I, like, how can I expect them to help me through my own problems when they got to deal with their own things? And then it's also like, what, I don't know the questions. Like, do I just blurt it out and say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with? Like, how do you approach that, you know? And I don't know, I think, so I'm 30 now. Maybe when I was in like my mid-20s, there was a point where I was like, you know, things, I always had like this vision for my life, and I kind of knew where I wanted to be at certain stages in my life. And there were some areas where I maybe hadn't achieved what I wanted to achieve. And, you know, I started reading a lot of books, and a lot of the books, they help you think through like questions, or, you know, like, they kind of guide you. And I realized, you know, some of these books maybe were giving me the answers, but I didn't really know, like, they weren't answering all my questions. Because it, like, a book is written for the masses, it's not written for the individual. And I realized, you know, if I started asking people that had maybe achieved things that I wanted to achieve, and I started asking, how did they get there? And what mistakes did they make? And so that I could avoid the mistakes, or, like, you know, it kind of, you start asking these little questions of like, how did you achieve what you set out to achieve? And then you start getting comfortable, and you realize that people actually want to help. Like, people have a ton of experience, and they want to share it, because it makes people feel good to share knowledge and advice, right? And often the people that share the advice, they share it with people that maybe aren't interested in that advice at that given time, or it's not the right time. But what I realized is, if you start asking people questions, that they love to share their experiences. Like, and I do it too. Like, I've made so many mistakes in my life that, like, when people ask me, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, what are your thoughts? Because I've done it and I've achieved it. It's so awesome for me to be able to guide them in the right direction and say, look, this is, you're going to run into these things, like, avoid these mistakes. So as when I started getting comfortable asking people for advice, just in, like, mostly in business areas, then I realized, like, personal advice was also something I could ask, you know, like, all the answers are out there. Most things have been done before. So, like, you just got to figure out who the person is that you want to, like who the role model is, and then be comfortable enough to ask them and, you know, share your issues and say, hey, you went through the same thing. How did you overcome this?
I've got so much joy in my heart right now. It sounds so corny.
Good. I mean, it's so true. And like, you know, I've heard so many people say what I've just said, and it sounds corny, like saying it, but it's so true at the end of the day. I mean, and maybe I'm naive, but I do believe that most people are good and just want to share, you know, like, There are clear paths to success, and people that have discovered those and have achieved success, like talking about yachts. So like, I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of yacht owners who were willing to sit down and chat with me over, you know, like I've worked for some owners who would take the crew out to dinner and I'd sit next to them and share a glass of wine with them. And like, that's unheard of. But when you're sitting down with somebody like that and you say, hey, how did you get to this point where you can afford this yacht? Like, obviously you don't phrase it in that way, but like, they want to share everything and they want to tell you like every little detail of how they got there. And you know, you start to see like these similarities in, you know, it's the same formula, but people want to share their advice. And when you get comfortable being able to ask like a billionaire, how did you achieve this, then like you realize that, you know, questions, you should be asking the questions. You should, any person you meet, you should be asking a question to them. And like,
totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the key message here is don't dismiss the power of curiosity. Because
absolutely,
you're curious, all the fear dissipates. And I've been fortunate enough not to feel intimidated by wealth, intimidated by prisoners. I just was curious. I was like, I want to learn more. And you start developing connections and a good rapport with people when you do tap into that curiosity. Because as you said, people just share and impart because they feel heard and seen. And it's a basic human need. We all want to feel heard and seen.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
But and like on that though, one of the things I guess that also held me back from asking questions was like, I didn't want to come across as nosy. Like when I was younger, like we were always told, you know, like mind your own business. And, you know, especially when I was a kid and I was sitting at the table with grownups, like I was always told to be like, to be seen, not heard. And, you know, like there are people that ask questions for the wrong reasons and they are just being nosy. And like, but there is a difference. And I didn't know that. Like, I didn't know that you could be curious and ask the question without coming across as nosy, you know? So like, I think that's something that I was had to overcome is like, you know, asking questions is okay as long as the intention behind the question is correct. If that makes sense.
And another thing, because with my background in counseling psychology, what you're referring to there is a belief system. And so often we see that as our truth, our reality. So, for example, mind your own business. Then we internalize it and go, oh, it's wrong if I'm curious. Like me being nosy. When in fact, it's the complete opposite. But that's why it's so important to check out your belief systems with others and say to them like, oh, do you ever think this or experience this? Because this is how I think and feel when I've got this like intuition that's telling me that I want to ask something, but I feel like I can't because I feel like I'm being nosy. And that's when you're having those healthy discussions and you can start debunking those faulty belief systems and create new ones that serve you rather than not.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And like, just on that, like, you know, so when I was a kid, like I was really naughty and rebellious, and like, you know, I questioned teachers all the time, and like I never took things at face value. Like if you were telling me something, I would always question why. Like, and it became clear a lot of the time that like people say things but they don't actually know why they're saying it, or like they've read it somewhere in a textbook or whatever, but they don't actually know like the why behind it. So I've always been curious. But the common thing with like teachers, especially at a young age, when you question them, there's a difference between like tidy your room and you tell your mom, you ask your mom why, versus like why is the earth round? Like when you ask a real curious question, but the teacher, for example, doesn't actually know the answer and they tell you to like, it's because I said so. When you hear because I said just so enough times, like you also, it kind of like gets ingrained in you, like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be asking these questions. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I think what makes good entrepreneurs is we do question everything. I'm constantly questioning, how can I make things more efficient? Like, why are things being done this way when like the clear path is it should be done this way, you know? But yeah, I mean, tying that back to mental health, like, you know, like I didn't know the right questions to ask. And I didn't know the right questions to ask. So I would always try and solve my own problems and kind of bottle it up inside because I didn't know who to ask and I didn't know what to ask. And once you start getting good at asking questions, you kind of realize that old saying of there's no such thing as a wrong, like a dumb question. Well, when you start questioning, like when you have problems, it doesn't matter how you ask the question, as long as you can communicate what you're struggling with, the question almost becomes irrelevant because the person that you ask can kind of guide you through and help solve that issue, right?
Right. Yes. And it's funny, we both know Holly, and Holly's feedback because a lot of people ask her about counseling and what it's like, and there's so much fear around talking to someone because they feel like they don't know where to begin or what to say.
Yeah.
And it's just trusting that the right questions will come at the right time, and it's a process of self-discovery in a more concentrated form. So you can go through life trying to figure out these answers yourself, and you might meander and take your time getting there. Whereas therapy, you're definitely curious because you want to learn more and why you are the way you are. And I was like that as a little girl. I was like, there has to be a meaning behind this. There's a connection. And I'd unpack it.
sure.
I found it so fascinating, human behavior. It's so intriguing to me. And like what we're doing right now is essentially like what we would be having in a counseling session. So I'd be asking open questions, and we've connected to belief systems that haven't served you, and then we might work on it
for sure. Table.
But it's a concentrated experience in terms of reaching your fullest potential a lot quicker.
Sure. And that's whenever you and I, so like we've had multiple conversations, obviously we've never met in person, but whenever I'm done talking to you, I always feel like, so I've never been to therapy or any of that, but like you always like, you do ask these questions where like at the end of it, like the conversation, I'm always like, you know what, I need to think about this because like clearly there's something here. And it's like, there's often a lot of reflection after the call because you ask these questions that are, and like you bring out a lot of things in me where it almost feels like a therapy session, but it's a conversation, and it's like, it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. And so where I'm going with this is like the beauty of this is like, it's such a natural conversation. And I think that is key as well, to find somebody who you can have a conversation with like this, where it doesn't feel like therapy. And
totally. I think we need to rebrand the word therapy.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely that stigma that is attached to that word. And like, I think that's also what a lot of like, maybe people are hesitant to maybe speak to other people, you know, and have a therapy session, because there is like this weird like stigma behind it where like only people with serious problems go to therapy.
Okay, I've got one last question for you.
Sure.
How can I frame this? The most memorable experience of reaching out for help and getting a positive result?
This is kind of like, I don't know if this is answering the question, but this is what the first thing. So
yeah,
I met my wife through reaching out. So I was coming to work at a summer camp in the States, and my sister was coming to be a nanny at the same camp, but she was going to work for the director. And she had never been to the, she had never been abroad by herself before. So she said, can I come with her 2 weeks early? And I had no money. So I was kind of banking on arriving at this camp and then having accommodation and obviously food and lodge and all that, and then getting paid. So I agreed to come with her 2 weeks before, and I had nowhere to stay. So I reached out to my now wife, and I said, I was friends with some of her friends, and I reached out to a bunch of people, and they couldn't accommodate me. And they were like, oh, reach out to Alex. She's like, got this really cool house, really cool family. Like, they'll take you in. So I reached out to her, and obviously the rest is history. So it was a thing where I had reached out to a stranger, just knowing that she was a, like a good person, and my chances of actually finding accommodation would be higher. And like 10 years later, we married and have a kid. So like that was a thing of me taking a leap of faith and reaching out for help. And, you know, so I don't know if that answers your question, but that was the first thing that came to my mind.
It does, because that must have been really tough in terms of like saying, hey, don't have any money. I can buy it for myself. Can you help me? Like, well, it's the height of vulnerability right there.
Yeah, I mean, it literally was that, because like I worked at a camp a year prior in Texas, and somebody got fired at this camp in Michigan. So I did like a 3 week like freelance gig at this camp that my brother worked at. So I'd met Alex like a year before, but I'd met a few other people, and during that time they were all still in college, and she, the school that she was at was done early. So that's why I reached out to her. And yeah, it was super awkward. I mean, first of all, like, I'm a guy, she's a girl. Like, why am I reaching out to her? But I just, my brother was friends with her, and, you know, their family has, like, you know, they just, like, really cool people. And so, like, yeah, it was super awkward, but I had nothing to lose. And that's another thing that I think people need to understand, is, like, when you reach out for help, like, the worst that somebody can say is no. Like, if, so you've got nothing to lose at the end of the day. So like, don't be shy to ask for help. Because at the end of the day, like, all that person can say is no, or I can't help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Going back, that's such a beautiful story. You know what I would love? Pop through the door behind you right now with your baby girl.
I hear them. I don't know if you can hear, Emerson just started crying, so she's obviously awake now. But yeah.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe round two, I'll text and say, okay, get ready. You should pop in.
That would be so lovely, so lovely.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that you're touching on, is the fear of rejection and how that can create a lot of anxiety, which is a mental health issue. And being an entrepreneur, you've got to really be courageous, because you are going to get rejected, but that's part of the process. And that's why I love that story about the KFC guy who tried to sell his chicken sauce and went to like thousands of homes and got rejected, and then he was like a multimillionaire by the time.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he only sold his recipe at like the age of 60 or something, or 70, like some crazy, but it's so true. Like, you just need that one yes. I mean, you know, like I hear no's every day. It's part of the game. But you know, when you ask enough times, like, you're bound to get a yes at some point. So
yeah,
you know, persistence, especially as an entrepreneur, I think it's the most like undervalued characteristics. But you know, persistence, yeah.
And consistent.
I know this conversation's gone all over the place, but
it's
been fun.
Everyone who's listening is going to be like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. So thank you so much, Brad. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, and my pleasure.
How do people find you if they want to look into Motion?
Can we like drop a link somewhere? I think that's the easiest way. I don't know when this is going to air, but by the time it does, we should be fully up and running and accepting people. So
Okay.
Yeah, I'd love to connect over Motion. But yeah, I'll give you a link to share with people.
Okay. Perfect. Wonderful. Thanks.
Yeah. Absolutely. This has been fun. Thank you. And thank you for everything that you do. Like, it's super helpful, and yeah, the community needs it. So yeah.
Thank you.